Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I am Kelly Newcomb of Brave Parenting. Hey, if you're a regular subscriber to the podcast, thank you so much. And if this episode has been shared with you by a friend, welcome. And we just pray that you find this content valuable. If you do, we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, you'll find a wealth of information and resources on our website, braveparenting.net. Okay, I've been working on this episode for quite a while. I feel like it is such an important topic. And so today I'm going to be evaluating location tracking and really asking the question if this is a neutral technology and whether or not its benefits or its detriments really win out for the glory of God. And that is our goal really in life, right? To glorify God. Therefore, it must be the lens that we think critically and biblically about all modern conveniences, especially simple ones like GPS location sharing. So to answer those questions, we must look at how location tracking changes human behavior, specifically our Christian walk and how it impacts our human relationships. You know, Christ has commanded us to love God and love others. Therefore, if either of these are grossly compromised, we know we have an issue that must be reconciled. We must determine if, as Christians, location sharing, or let's just call it what it is, tracking our kids' location, should be a part of our daily routine and practice as parents if it is compromising how we love God and how we love others. So Scripture tells us to test everything and hold fast to what is good. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And this is precisely what we want to do and help you do here on the Brave Parenting Podcast. It's so easy to adapt to every new technology for its convenience in our modern world. I would argue that this is really what's been done over the last 10 years as smart technology and apps and streaming and all this has been introduced, which is also why we are making the effort in 2025 to regularly ask ourselves, is this thing in my right hand a lie? Is this app a lie? Is this convenience a lie? Is it deceiving me, manipulating me toward a greater engagement and reliance, not even for maybe my own gain, but really the gain of the company that's putting that app out, that's maybe profiting off of my attention? We want to ask those questions. We know that repeatedly the Word of God tells us to be discerning and prudent so that we can make wise, well-informed decisions rather than just basing things on our feelings or some sort of blind belief, right? Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps." And all believers are called to use Scripture, prayer, and guidance from the Holy Spirit to evaluate what is good, right, and true in their lives. And when we test everything, even the simple and seemingly normal technologies that everyone is using, like location tracking, we can ensure that we remain faithful to God's truth and avoid deception from the world. Okay, so that being said, because there is one specific app that dominates the location tracking landscape, I will also be discussing the app Life 360 today. But first, let me start by talking about just how ubiquitous location tracking has become. So a survey was done by an organization called All About Cookies, and they found that 80% of parents check their child's location. 54% do so frequently, and 39% track their children without their child's knowledge. So 80% of parents are doing it. About half of that are doing it without their kids knowing that they're being tracked. 64% of parents have caught their children doing something they shouldn't because of tracking. That should come as no surprise because that's just the nature of tracking and of kids. You're going to probably find your kids somewhere where they probably shouldn't be or where you've maybe told them not to go. And 76% of parents say that tracking their kids on offline behaviors has led their kids to actually make better choices because they know that mom and dad is watching. Now, let's pause and evaluate that last statistic. Parents say their kids are making better choices. 76% of parents say that that's what's happening. So that's their interpretation, that because they know their parents are watching them, they're making better choices. But this isn't actually saying the kids are making better choices, right? Because we all know where there is a will to evade tracking, there is a way. Kids have found ways to put their phones in airplane mode, to leave their phones behind. They do this. We know this, but parents, 76% of parents believe they at least remain optimistic that their kids are making better choices because of the tracking. So that still remains, I think, pretty subjective because we know that kids are very savvy. With and without technology, they are very savvy. Okay, so the large majority of parents are tracking kids' locations. We got that. You already know that. You're experiencing it. You're either tracking your kids already or you know lots of people who do. So the three main reasons that are cited in all of the research and kind of surveys that are out there, and those three reasons are safety, location accountability, and coordination between family members. So let's examine these for a second. Safety. This is by far the number one reason why people cite. Parents want to make sure their kids are safe. The emergency aspect, I think, is in sight here. Like if your child gets lost driving or if they were in a car accident, the parent can see their location, find them, and help them immediately. I think another common justification is if there was a school shooting and you would be able to know where they are either during it or after. I think a lot of people sadly also still think kidnapping because even though that is statistically very rare, in our minds, we still think that our kids could be kidnapped if they were walking down the road. And so that would also be a concern is if you can track them because you can know where they are. Now, the second one, location accountability, that is basically just where the child says they are staying after school. The parent can check their location to ensure they are indeed at the school. If they say they're going to Dylan's house to play, again, you can check their location and make sure that your child is safely at Dylan's house. The idea here is that the child would be less likely to engage in risky or unauthorized behavior because they know they're being tracked. They know that they're held accountable for their location. And then the third major reason why parents track their location is the coordination between family members. Now, for some families, the logistics of coming and going and drop off and pick up is made much easier with location tracking. The basis for tracking typically would grant all family members equal access to location sharing. Kids would know where parents are at all times. Parents could know where all the kids are at all times. For example, this would be like your son's practice gets out early. He can see mom and dad's location to see how long it will be before he's picked up from school. And he can determine whether he's going to find a ride with someone else or he's going to just wait at the school to be picked up. Then maybe you arrive at the school. You can check your son's location to see that he is, you know, in the gym instead of waiting outside in the parking lot. So that would be an example of that coordination between family members. Now, I think it's important not just to acknowledge those for what they are, but to critically analyze these. Because on the surface, they sound very legitimate. Now, the first one, safety. Even within those rare and extreme circumstances, such as getting lost or a car accident or a school shooting, but even in the everyday in and out routine, tracking their location does not actually enhance a child's safety. They're not less likely to be kidnapped or to be in a car accident or to be involved in a school shooting because their parents are tracking their location. To say that location tracking keeps kids safe is simply a misnomer. Safety sounds loving. What parent would say that they don't care if their kids are safe, right? No one. We all want our kids to be safe. But location tracking gives the illusion or a sense of control over safety. Like if something happens, you will be the first to know and you will be able to rescue them or restore their safety. In the end, what really is happening, it's not actually enhancing safety. It's just granting that parent location accountability, right? It's not making anyone safer per se. So that brings us to the location accountability. I think this is the most valid reason given for tracking a child's location. Because let's be honest, it's more the verified veracity than it is trust, right? Because if you trust your child to go where they say they're going to go, and that you trust that they can handle any obstacle that may come their way on that journey, whether it's after school or whether they're walking down the road to a friend's house, then you don't need to track them if you trust them. Before there was the ability to track location, this is what parents did. They just trusted their children, or they trusted their ability to overcome any obstacle. If they decided to make a bad choice and not do what they were supposed to do, that the child was going to be competent enough to figure it out and be able to make their way back home. See, but the heart deceives parents to believe it's about safety. And you know, the design of the apps like 360 operate to enhance this feeling. But at the core, it is only about making sure the child is telling the truth about where they are going. That's what location accountability is you really don't trust that they can either tell the truth about where they're going or that they can figure life out even if they decide to break the rules and not do what they say that they're going to do. Now, I will argue that there are a lot of potential scenarios where this is needed or is beneficial, where you need to actually keep your child accountable for their location if the child has a major health condition or if the child has majorly broken trust and they need to build it back up with this type of location accountability. That may be a very valid reason. And I'll touch back on this a little bit later. But let me finish thinking critically about that third reason, which is coordination between family members. Yes, it is easy to acknowledge the convenience that location tracking adds to a busy family's life. But we have to think about what is lost with that convenience. I think what's lost primarily is communication. Like if we go back to that sample scenario I just shared a minute ago, right? The son gets out of practice early. The son could have called mom to say, hey, mom, practice has ended early. And then they coordinate over the phone whether or not he should get a ride home with a friend or they should just wait it out because they were going to go run errands after they picked up, you know, got picked up anyway. So similarly, you know, say the mom arrives at the school. Instead of tracking location, she could have called her son when she arrived and said, hey, where are you? I'm here. Or, you know, or better yet, there's always the ability to sort of set the expectation that the child is outside and ready at 4:45 because that's when you're going to arrive. So while coordinating family schedules through location tracking is an option, I don't think it's necessarily the best or the healthiest option for the relationships within the family and then the communication between family members. It really serves to, I would say, deepen individualism rather than strengthen those relationships because you're taking out the communication factor. Okay, so now all that being said, we know that the majority of parents, 80%, are tracking their kids. And now we know the three main reasons why they believe that tracking is necessary or beneficial. Even if those reasons have flaws, we know why parents are doing this. And I mentioned how the apps function to convince parents that it is really more about safety and accountability and family coordination. And not only that, but I think the marketing also plays on the emotion and the guilt of parents. So let's look at Life 360. Now, Life 360 is the most popular location sharing app. Front and center on their website says, peace of mind starts here. They also say, lighten your mental load with Life 360's advanced location sharing. And one more little marketing, you know, tug on your heart, exhale a huge sigh of relief. When it comes to how these apps and services are marketed, many of them claim to bring peace of mind to parents. Parents believe then that they that if they can see their kid's location, well, then they must be safe. Ah, peace of mind. If parents can see how far from home their daughter is as curfew approaches, they are not anxious or angry. Ah, huge sigh of relief. But for anyone who has tracked their child's location, you already surely know that this peace of mind and huge sigh of relief only comes when your child is following the straight and narrow path. If you track their location and they aren't where they should be, let me tell you, peace is the last thing you feel. Your anxiety and anger and frustration and fear all come rising up. But Life 360 doesn't, of course, talk about any of that. They, of course, just promote the sense of peace and a huge sigh of relief and that your kids are going to be safe. And they also offer other features, I think, that are really just tactics to keep you bought into their service and the location tracking culture. They offer location history, right? Just in case you forgot to check their location one day last week. You can also set up place alerts, notifying anyone in your family circle when someone has arrived at a marked place of importance. So if you wanted to know when mom or dad got home from work, you could say that mom and dad arrived home and your kids could know that. Or likewise, you could also say when the kids arrived at school, you could be notified when that happened. They also offer roadside assistance, crash detection and dispatch, and ID theft protection. But most of those features come with Life 360's Platinum subscription, which is $25 a month. Now, a Life 360 blog post highlights ways for parents to track location while avoiding being a helicopter parent. An article I found really fascinating, since location tracking is really a fundamental feature of helicopter parenting. If we're honest, it just flat out is. If you are looking to see where your kids are at all times, anytime they're away from you, that is essentially helicopter parenting. Call it what you will, but that's what it is. And they, on this blog post, encourage parents to frame location sharing as a tool for independence, allowing family members to go about their day with the assurance that help is available if needed. They claim that Life 360 enhances independence because it includes driving safety features and emergency assistance and place alerts that reduce the need for constant check-ins. This allows younger family members to explore their world safely. Okay, so that is from a Life 360 blog post on tracking location while avoiding becoming a helicopter parent. So let's pause right there and recognize a few things that they said in there. Exploring the world safely. That really is not the same as independence. If parents are going to be notified where their teen, right, in their independence are going, the only thing that brings safety to that experience is if the parent swoops in and rescues them from making bad independent decisions. That is not actually independence, nor is it the freedom that teens need to enter into adulthood with the knowledge, resilience, and fortitude, really, to survive on their own. Now, going back to the blog post, they claim that embracing Life 360 is about more than just knowing where your family members are. It's about building trust, respecting privacy, and promoting independence. Parents are encouraged to use Life 360 not as a tool for surveillance, but as a platform for ensuring safety and fostering solid and healthy relationships within the family. Now, again, really interesting that they're talking about building trust, because of almost every article and survey I read, teens feel like location tracking breaks down the trust between the parents and child. Teens feel like they cannot act independently, that they cannot take the risks, or that they can't even make a mistake. The pressure to even make an independent decision that might go against what a parent may want is so much pressure. They can't do that. But that's all a natural part of growing up and into adulthood. You know, we may not like all the decisions our kids make, but we have to be honest. Before there was even tracking, available in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whenever you grew up, you made independent decisions that helped you develop resilience and persevered through making bad decisions. There's learning and growth in that. And having your location tracked, you know, regardless of how it is, quote, framed, you can frame it however you want. It doesn't make the child feel like they are capable of making those independent decisions, of solving problems on their own, of being responsible outside of the shadow of their parents. The very nature of having your location tracked on an everyday basis completely diminishes that trust, that feeling that the kids have that they can do something on their own. This pressure to walk the straight line of no risk-taking, no mistakes, perfect obedience to the parental expectation, I think that also is included in what's causing a lot of young people stress and anxiety. I would even argue for some, it's enough to convince them to just stay home and hang out online with people, which is actually the furthest thing from being safe. It is probably safer in your neighborhood based on where you live than online in any open global like community, right? But somehow parents have been convinced that the real world is scarier than the online world. I've had parents come and tell me, well, I'd rather than be at home playing video games online than somewhere out roaming the streets. And to our safety sensitive ears, it sounds great. That sounds right and true. But to the teen who needs to learn how to navigate the real physical world where risks and rewards have real life consequences, not just a lost life in a video game, it's a detrimental loss when they're not out in the real world figuring out how to navigate relationships and problems. The virtual world does not teach the same type of lessons. So it is a detrimental loss if they are to choose to stay home and play, quote, online with their friends versus leave the home and go play with their friends in the neighborhood. Now, I know not every teen is choosing to stay home and hang out online because their parents' location tracking discourages them and makes them feel that they're not trustworthy. But the entire concept of safetyism that is this driving force behind location tracking, I think it's a huge problem that parents must begin to grapple with. Opening the Life 360 app and seeing your child's location of home may allow you to breathe a sigh of relief because home sounds safe. Home should be safe, but our homes are also where children can now have access to everything that is ugly, evil, and addicting online without any restriction or accountability. And that is not safety, right? Scrolling social media, watching YouTube, playing video games, it isn't building and helping these kids gain the necessary life skills for becoming an adult. It actually is opening them up to much more competition, comparison, bullying, all of these risks that we know that are there. And of course, we wonder why our kids aren't becoming independent adults at 18 or at 20 or at 23 is because this is kind of the world that we have created for them. And I feel like if we just put this in terms of Finding Nemo, surely you've seen this classic animated cartoon. If Nemo's father could have tracked the location of Nemo, well, first of all, if he could track the location, he would have been an absolute hot mess. He would have been so anxious and even more so than he already was. But he couldn't track his location. And thus, Nemo would have never gained the life lessons and resilience that he did when he was out of the reach of his father. He was unsupervised. He had to figure things out on his own. And I know that's just an animated movie, but hopefully you can see a little real life application about how kids learn resilience outside the shadow of their parents. Now that's a secular analogy, but let's look to scripture itself, right? I know the tendency is to often render the biblical narratives very antiquated because GPS tracking didn't exist back then. But this technology didn't exist, again, when we were kids either. Our parents and our grandparents got by just fine raising us without knowing our exact location every moment of the day. Now, one of my favorite narratives in scripture to point to this topic is when Mary and Joseph had caravaned to Jerusalem for the Passover, and then they were heading back to Nazareth. And we find this in Luke 2, 41 to 52. And I will start in verse 42. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Verse 45, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Verse 48 says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Verse 49, Jesus replies, why were you searching for me? He asked, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Okay, so Mary and Joseph sought diligently and persistently for Jesus for 3 days. Surely they were scared. You know, quite possibly they were an absolute train wreck of anxiety. You can hear that in Mary's voice when she literally says, I have been searching anxiously for you. But the fact that they found him after 3 days demonstrates their trust in God to first sovereignly keep Jesus, and two, for God to guide them to Jesus. You know, Psalm 127:1 says that unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And I think as parents, we're the watchman, and you can work yourself into an absolute tizzy tracking your child's location. A better use of your time is to be spent in prayer for your child and beseeching God to watch over them and protect them, to give them wisdom, to make the right choices, to be able to solve problems. Children, we must remember, are a gift from God. They are God's first, and it is our job to steward, guide, and disciple them. And it feels like we are the ones who have sovereign control over their lives, especially with the technology like location tracking. But God's word reminds us that our efforts of control are in vain, and that it is He alone who has sovereign control. Now let's look at one other aspect of this narrative. When Jesus was found, he asked his parents, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? And I think Jesus is essentially saying, you didn't trust me to do what is right, to take care of myself in your absence? And I might be reading into that a little bit, but there he is kind of calling them out, saying, you should have known, you know who I am. And Mary and Joseph, you know, undoubtedly raised Jesus in the knowledge and discipline of the Lord and the Jewish faith. Jesus knew right and wrong, and he was drawn to his father's house to listen to the rabbi's teaching, to ask questions, to offer his wisdom. Now, did he think of his parents' feelings? Perhaps not. Probably not. Kids don't, right? That's just the nature of kids. It just goes to show how normal I think it is for kids to express agency as they come of age, and even maturity as they become, teenagers, that they can make decisions on their own without regard to their parents' feelings. Now, granted, we don't love that. We want our kids to always think about our feelings. And I think that's just because that's our selfishness. So Mary's like, how could you do this? And Jesus is like, how could you not trust me? I think what we can learn from this aspect of the biblical narrative is that their physical location does not matter as much as their spiritual location. We are to raise our children to be grounded in the Lord and in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And when they have that, then we can trust them to be guided by the Holy Spirit in their decisions and in their whereabouts. So we are better off engaging our energies in making sure their spiritual location is in the right place as they grow up, instead of worrying always about their physical location. Now, this is only one example from scripture about how God consistently guided and protected his people without technology. We can go back to Genesis 12, where God directed Abraham to just go to the land he would show him. No Google Maps, no name of the town. It was just like, Abraham, start walking. And he was like, okay, right? That's faith. You can think about how God directed the Magi from the east to come and worship he who was born king of the Jews, and he guided them by a star. And we can't forget that for almost all of human history, God's creation, the stars in the sky, has served as the original GPS. And if you read the letters of Paul and attune your mind to really grasp how Paul was able to meet up with people at appointed times, I find it fascinating. It's like, can you believe that he was able to reconnect with Barnabas or Timothy after they had traveled to different parts of the ancient world without text messaging or shared locations? How was that possible? Well, it is possible through God. When we pause long enough to reflect on God's divine power and omniscience to direct the course of our lives, it is so humbling and awe-inspiring. I know for me, meditating on God's active presence and power in the world recenters my heart. I turn from trusting technology and the conveniences it offers. And in repentance, I remind myself that I can accomplish all of God's purposes without these tools. He is more powerful than any algorithm. Now, I'm going to bravely and boldly tell you, no matter how unpopular my opinion is, I'm going to tell you, parents need to stop tracking their kids' location. I wholeheartedly believe that it is contributing to the breakdown of the relationship between parent and child. It is also robbing children of their necessary experiences needed to learn, need to make good decisions, to solve problems. Even if they make bad decisions, there is learning in that. There's learning in failure. The longer parents act as a safety net, swooping in to save them from their own bad choices, or worse, just preventing real life choices from being made in the first place, we are hindering that relationship. So I will say, however, and I mentioned this before, I'm going to say it again, that there are some circumstances where location tracking may be necessary if the child has proven themselves truly unable to be trusted. I think, especially if that child is under the age of 17, it may be necessary to use location tracking for a season, not forever, but for a designated amount of time to rebuild that trust. And I would add to that, that the events that caused you to lose that trust, it really should be pretty severe, life-threatening, or even illegal. It shouldn't be just because your child forgot to unload the dishwasher or came home 15 minutes after curfew without calling. Right? Those kind of adolescent errors are expected, and we shouldn't be surprised by those. But if your child is engaged in something that is severely life-threatening or illegal, then yes, we may need to hold them into much greater accountability as far as their location goes. Now, I will confess that I have had a season where I've had to track two children. It was necessary. And I'll be honest, it was a love-hate tool. I hate it that I could see where they were. But when their location showed me where they were, where they were supposed to be, yeah, sure, I loved it. I will tell you, it made me feel like, oh, okay, good. I can breathe that sigh of relief that they say that I can do. But I also saw firsthand just how easy it was, or really the great lengths that these kids can go to in order to hide their location. Some kids, even when they have been raised in the knowledge and the discipline of the Lord, they're still going to rebel. Some kids are going to reject the faith of their parents. Some kids are just going to be bent to break rules. And there isn't judgment at all in that. As parents, you know, our job is to just obey God's commands, to raise them up to know the truth. We can't always control if they're going to accept it or reject it. I think every parent who has raised a child who has rebelled to some degree can agree that their real life choices and rebellion eventually catch up to them and teach them valuable life lessons. But at that time, same time, parents were not called to be our child's savior. We are not called by God as their parents to rescue them from every bad decision and rebellion through location tracking. We have a savior, Jesus Christ, who has already rescued and redeemed us. Like I said, our time is so much better spent worshiping and petitioning to Christ on behalf of our child's salvation and his spiritual location than using a technological tool to control their whereabouts. As Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Your faith isn't blind, but it is informed. It is informed by the inerrant and sufficient word of God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Just because a technological tool exists does not mean that God has ordained this gift to us of omniscience to know all the places our kids are at, or omnipresence to be everywhere present with our kids through this GPS location tracking. Those are attributes of God. And we don't want to assume these technological tools are granting us those same attributes. So like I said, as a society, I think we've just jumped into this habit of tracking without critically thinking about how it impacts our faith and how it impacts our children as well. I know it's a hard ask, so I just encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to lead you in his truth and by the power of the Holy Spirit to grow your faith in him, to be greater than your faith in technology, right? May God be the glory. Thank you so much for listening, friends. May God bless you. And until next week, go and be brave.